Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome for a fantastic show today. Fantastic. Yes, this is Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author of the book Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Motivational speaker, personal development specialist, author, talk show host, and life coach. Yes. Welcome to a fantastic day, another day in paradise. Absolutely. Yeah, for part 17, believe it or not, in a series on conscious parenting and personal growth. Conscious parenting and personal growth. Yeah, 17 or something. Yeah, so I really encourage everyone to go into the archives, blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. And scroll down in the archives till you see conscious parenting and personal growth. And get all the installments. You can download them free of charge to your hard drive. When you go on the show page, you'll see the audio bar to the top. Yeah, Blog Talk doesn't make it too user-friendly, so I'm just telling you how you can do this. All right, and then to the right of the audio bar, you'll see a little tiny cloud. You click on that cloud, and you'll download the episode, and then you have to rename it because it comes out, show 98765, whatever. Then change the numbers into a title you like or call it parenting, whatever. And it's yours. You can put it in your iPod, folder, and burn a CD, anything. At least you'll have it. The main thing is get it. Get it. That's the most important thing. Get it. You know, and so many people I've talked to and clients I've talked to, by the way, I have 20 years in mental health and drug counseling field, so I have a lot of client stories, which are in my book, Reconnected. So a lot of time clients have these problems, you know, and they'll have problems with their marriages, problem with their kids, and problem with depression. And I give them some tools, you know, and they say, thank you very much. But when I see them on the next session, I ask them for their progress, they still have the same problem. So I said, well, did you use the tools that I gave you? They says, I'm going to do it this week, or I'm going to do it next week, or I'm going to do it tomorrow. But as you know, tomorrow never comes. So I bought the book, Reconnected. They tune into my show, Reconnected Show, on Saturdays. And they said, sounds good. But they haven't read a chapter. They haven't applied anything to their life. So it's kind of looking at that fancy pill bottle in your medicine cabinet that the doctor prescribed for you. Nice and pretty. Oh, yeah, nice and pretty there. They haven't broken the seal, haven't opened it up. They say, I got the medicine. It means nothing if you don't take it. So it's all in the application. So I'm encouraging you all, please. We got too many dysfunctional marriages out here, too many marriages where people are dominating over one another. You know, sexism going on, and man feels they got to control their wife, and, you know, they even got two of the other girlfriends on the side. They might say, well, I'm a married three or four of you guys, you know, and do all this kind of stuff here, all right, and the women go along with it, you see. That means you have an issue with your own self-esteem. I'm telling you, that's right, issue with self-esteem. If your self-esteem is high, you'd never go along with that. God made you independent mind. You're deserving by birthright to have the best life has to offer, best that God has for you. All right? That's right. Settle. Share your man with somebody else. You don't have to do that. You have the best, happy, stable, fantastic marriage. Your best friend, prosperity partner, life partner. Yep, that's what I call my wife. Yeah. Just you two. Absolutely. Absolutely. Respect one another as fully individuals themselves. No codependency, no addictions, none of that. Yeah. And we have these emotional voids because of our childhood programming. That's what my book actually addresses. For sure. So please get this. Go on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Get it, please. Get it today. And don't just get it. All right? Internalize the concept so your life will be different. You will make that major shift and think differently. Act differently, attract differently. co-create differently. Yes, absolutely. And have the best life possible. Yes, do that. You should be able to smile. When you wake up, you're so thankful. The floor. You're so thankful for so many things. You got a mate next to you. Wife or husband, look around, see them. They might be sleeping still. You're thankful for just seeing them there. Seeing them makes your heart warm, vibrant. You're so full of things. You can be there all, you know, hours just giving thanks. Never run out of things to give thanks for. You see, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. And this was part of this series, Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth, okay? We talked a lot about the various personal growth areas of my book, Reconnected, and how it applies to conscious parenting and personal growth. And I'll continue today. I start the last session on identifying and managing emotions. Now, you know, a lot of y'all still have problems with your emotions. You can't stop acting before you think. Stop it. Stop it. Learn how to breathe. Learn how to use that frontal lobe that God gave you that other animals did not receive. That allows you to think and decipher what is best for you at this particular time. Use that. Go to the front of the bus, not the back of the bus. The back of the brain has the emotional areas to it. You got the limbic section back there. You know, got the mammalian brain. Huh? That's back there. You know, you don't want all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's very important to understand that where we're set up, where God designed it, if you don't do anything to be in charge of your life, your emotions will. You'll be at the whims of whatever's out here. Your brain by itself, just look at it. Two-thirds of it is based on emotions. Yeah. An instinct. Mammalian brain back there. Yes. Reptilian brain. Yes. Matching the mammals and the reptiles. Instinct and emotions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's where you hang out. You have to consciously go to the front where the rational intellect is based, where you can make decisions. That's so very important. Too much. We need to learn how to listen. If someone is engaging you in a confrontational situation, listen. Don't talk like, how dare they speak to me like that? I'm going to show them. Don't let ego get the best of you. A lot of y'all worship ego. Don't do that. Ego is not God. Ego edging God out. Don't do that. Don't do that. No. Breathe. Ask yourself, do I deserve this? The answer is no. Leave. Then you say to yourself, they are not talking to me. I don't deserve this. I got to go. You see? No, 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 no. If I have to dress this, I'll dress it from a calm perspective. If they're fire, I'll be water. You breathe. Ask yourself, what's the proper, healthy thing to say to this person? And then say that. It's not about you winning. It's about doing what's right for the situation. All right? Real important, real important. Okay? Okay. Let's get back to the topics, friends. Okay. Identifying managing emotions. All right. We have to identify clear our emotions and feelings. We have to do that. It's real important, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I talked about the emotions and feelings and the positive counterpart. So we know, you know, where we can transition to. Yeah, like being burdened versus relieved. Feeling cheap or feeling valuable. Clumsy? How about coordinated? Competitive? How about cooperative? Compulsive? How about rational? Condemning? How about forgiving? Defensive? How about assertive? Defeated? How about victorious? See, yeah, the positive side just feels better. It's a stronger energy there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Higher vibration. Yeah. Desolate? How about joyful? Yes. Detached? How about connected? Drained? How about invigorated? Embarrassed? How about confident? Failure? Successful. Oh yeah, I talked about the book I use as my research for this book Reconnected. That talks about feelings. It's called Feelings, Buried Alive, Never Die, by Carol with a K. Truman. When you neglect your feelings, what you are really doing is disrespecting, dishonoring your own soul, your inner child. When you do this, believe me, you're going to pay dearly sooner or later. It may be in the form of what? Depression, unexplained moodiness, quick temperaments, feelings of uneasiness, discontent, unfinished emotional business in the past, aha, that has created an emotional block preventing you from proceeding to enjoy life fully. Yeah. You know a lot of this applies to you. Your inner child is not going to allow you to disrespect it for long. Your inner child will strike back and you will feel its wrath in one form or another. See, we have to honor and respect our inner child in order to have a truly peaceful, balanced, loving, and happy life. We have to also guard our soul or inner child from the attacks of others. Yeah. We have to be our inner child's best friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, let me talk about the emotional effects on the body. See, we have to know this. A toll on your body. A lot of y'all got high blood pressure, depression, mental illness, huh? Codependencies, addictions, all kind of problems stemming from unchecked emotions. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that right now. It's important to know how our body is affected when various emotions are experienced. Rage, for example, affects the heart and circulation as the face reddens or becomes purple, with the veins on the forehead and neck becoming distended. Joy, when intense, leads to various purposeless movements like dancing, clapping, and loud laughter. Mm-hmm. You should laugh at least one big belly laugh a day. Yeah. Fear and distress activate the limbic system at the base of our brains. This shuts off the cerebral cortex where creativity and problem solving live. You hear that? That's why you can't solve the problems when you're so fearful. Yeah. That limbic system back there where I was talking about the emotional and Yeah. All that back there, instinctive of our brains, the limbic system is back there at the base of your brain. See, this is why you can abort the feeling of rage and hostility by consciously shifting your focus from the object of your anger or stress to a problem-solving mode. Right when you feel the stress of anger beginning, start thinking about math equations, computations, or multiplication tables. This is what I do when I'm talking to my students. Then when I was teaching classes, yeah, I taught personal growth classes in high school. Yeah, in charter schools. Yeah, I told them to, you know, because, you know, peers got all kinds of stuff, bullying and pressure and competition, all kinds of stuff, you know, going on. So I tell them, hey, when you start feeling that pressure, think about math equations. Multiplication tables. See, when they do this, they're making a brain shift from the limbic system at the brain base to the cerebral cortex, which is at the top toward the front part of the brain. So you can't remain angry when you are in a problem-solving mode. You can't even be angry and solve problems at the same time. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. The brain won't allow you to do that. That is the one tool I have given youth when I'm conducting workshops. Yeah. See, we need to know the precursor of this anger. We need to know how the body changes as we prepare for this negative energy or stress. See, being in tune with our separate body parts is very important. Yeah. See, when you are in a very calm state, physically and emotionally, your bodies are at a level zero. This level is considered your baseline, where you can use it as a measurement to judge every other emotional and stressful experience. Yeah, I do this every morning when I meditate. Yeah, this morning I was deep breathing, listening to the birds out there, you know, different kind of birds and how they're communicating with one another. And now we here we had a nice fresh breeze, cool breeze going through the house. So I had the door open, so I was feeling a little cool breeze going through and doing my deep breathing and hearing the birds and noticing the green grass and trees. And yeah, I was at my zero state. Yeah, felt wonderful. I was feeling at one with nature then. Yeah, I felt good. Yeah. So you should know at any given time how your body parts are doing. Just imagine security cameras focus on your individual body parts, and you are in your security booth, constantly looking at the screens, making sure that there is no disturbance anywhere. As soon as any change is detected, you go right into action to prevent any further disturbances, thus cutting off the possibilities of an escalated stress level and its accompanying package of side effects. Got that one? Yeah. There are plenty of symptoms of pre-stress conditions that should alert you that impending doom is lurking if something is not done soon. Some of the most common pre-stress and stress symptoms are, check this out, sweating, upset stomach, muscles feeling tense, feeling like crying, fast breathing, shaky hands, cold hands, shaky legs, heart pounding and beating fast, tight feelings in your chest, an overwhelming sense of worry, dry mouth, inability to sit still. Oh yeah, keep those things in mind. Yeah, this is why, you know, I'm telling you, you got to have this. Please get reconnected. Get it today. Please, I'm telling you. We need to have it. We're so emotional. We got to start thinking rational. Yeah. When you notice the beginning of any of these changes in your body, it would be wise on your part to intervene right away. Do something to divert your attention away from the source of the stress. Having different calming techniques available for your use anytime is invaluable, as you can choose which technique would be appropriate for your situation. Now, when I read stories about the personal development masters, they are discussing the topic of managing emotions. They all agree on using meditation as a daily tool. I do it too. You should do it also. Progressive relaxation is another calming tool that is universally used. See, in meditation, you're concentrating on one idea or entity as you also give attention to your inhaling and exhaling process. Yeah, yeah. Now I'm going to talk about breathing. Yeah, I'm telling you. You got to master this for a lot of reasons. A lot of y'all got high blood pressure. This by itself can lower your blood pressure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'm going to talk about it. And I'm telling you, I'm going to speak real slow, but when you go back in the archives and download this part 17, you can play it back as many times as you want to. You know, go into the audio bar at the top, you know, and slide it over, rewind. Yeah. But this is very important, I'm telling you. Very important. Matter of fact, if you put my name in Google, Nazim Rashid, NazimRashid, in Google, you see a lot of things there. One of them will be a series of breathing exercises. Yeah. You can actually see me performing these exercises right there. So I ask you, you know, implore you guys to do that too, brothers and sisters out there. Please. We got to get it. It's time for us to be rational beings instead of emotional ones. All right, the breathing focuses first. So in order to receive the full effect of this relaxing process, you need to learn how to breathe using your diaphragm to fully expand your muscles, both your abdominal and your latissimus muscles located on your back, connecting your shoulders down to your waistline. I'm going to be real detailed about this, okay? Because most of y'all have no idea what these muscles are. Right? Now, those brothers, some sisters who are into weightlifting, you know about the lats, kind of like your wing muscles in the back, okay? All right? But not familiar with how to use these muscles in your breathing process, in your deep breathing process, okay? This is actually formally called the diaphragmatic style of breathing. Again, the diaphragmatic style of breathing, very important. You might ask, what does it have to do with parenting? A lot, because if you're not calm, you're going to cause a wreck in the family. Your kids are going to see you being a wreck, and then they'll be a wreck when they grow up. Personal growth, calming yourself down is very important for you to develop as a full, conscious, healthy human being. So this is very relevant to the topic. Now, this diaphragmatic style of breathing is what athletes use to maximize their stamina and lung capacity. Okay. Wind instruments, I'm also a saxophone player, a lot of y'all know that, uses breathing technique as well. If you notice how a round balloon inflates, you will see that it expands equally on all sides. Your diaphragm is capable of doing the same thing inside of you. Think about a round balloon, okay? Yeah. Or think about you swallowing a big softball or something. With your body, a your brown element inside of you, okay? All right. The diaphragm is capable of doing the same thing. So as you take that first breath, you will direct the incoming air all the way down to your tummy, not your chest. Just does not go up. Step one of the three steps of the breathing process. Step one of three, okay? Follow me now. For clarity's sake, let's again look at the first step. As you inhale, you are directing the air stream, pushes it forward. Your stomach pushes out, you know? Just look at an infant in the bed. See, we all come here breathing correctly. We get messed up real soon after we arrive here on Earth. Yeah. When you look at a baby, how a baby breathes, the little stomach goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Yeah, that's correct breathing. We should learn from our little babies. Okay? See if you can do it. See if you can inhale now and do nothing but push your stomach out. How are you doing there? Are you able to put your stomach out, or is your chest still moving? Don't inhale your lungs. Don't put air into your lungs. Just from your mouth down to your stomach only. Not your lungs, just your stomach only. By itself, isolate. Learn how to isolate. Can you do it? Work on it. Okay? All right? Look at my videos. Okay, now no other part of your body is affected yet. On step one, your tummy alone is pushed out. On step two, you're now going to direct the airstream to your rear, going past your spine and expand your lower back muscles. That's your latissimus comes in just above your waistline. See, attaches from your waistline to your shoulders up there, okay? All right? At the same time, the same airstream is expanding it's called intercostal muscles, which are located in between your ribs. All right, got that? So in step two, the air is pushing back, but expanding like a balloon, both your back and your ribs. Everybody got that? Are you doing it? Okay. All right. You know, you might not do it right the first time. I'm giving you the steps here. It takes practice, okay? It takes practice. But I'm telling you how you do it correctly. And get the maximum amount of air in your system. So when you're breathing it out slowly, you calm yourself down. All the effects happen there. I'm getting to that, you know? Getting to just relax, okay? All right. All right. If you keep the picture fanning round balloon in mind, you will be able to envision what your body will start looking like as you expand your lower muscles. On step two, the muscles that are now expanding are the back and rib muscles. It is here where you can see the balloon effect. Your body will actually shift backwards. As you're expanding, latissimus muscles will pull you back. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. It's pulling me back. Mm-hmm. Like someone's got the back of your belt and pulling you back a little bit. With your stomach going out initially and your latissimus muscles pulling you back, your body might look like you are moving forward as your stomach goes out and backward every time you inhale. Yeah, I found that most people have underdeveloped latissimus muscles unless a building or bodybuilding regimen is part of your lifestyle. Now, on step three, or the exhaling process, you're going to think, to see your throat clearly, your throat is in an open position. Okay? This is the correct position to have as you're exhaling and pushing the air straight out, using your abdominal muscles to smoothly push all of your air out. Okay? When you're breathing for the purpose of playing a wind instrument, you will exhale with more force as you are building up all your breathing muscles, right? When you are practicing your breathing exercise for the purpose of relaxing and centering yourself, as we're doing now, your approach will be slightly different. You will inhale through your nose instead of your mouth, gradual, and your exhaling will be slow with a controlled, steady flow. To speed up the process of relaxing, you can inhale and hold your breath for the slow count of five, and then slowly release your air until you are fully deflated. Oh, yeah, I guarantee you do this correctly, you'll see your heart rate, your heartbeat start slowing. Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Your voice might even change. My voice actually gets a little lower when I do that. You know, there are so many benefits to correct breathing. When you practice breathing like this, you're putting more oxygen into your system, which helps you in thinking more clearly, relaxing, calming yourself down, letting go of stress, relaxing your heart, thus lowering your blood pressure, like I was just talking about. Now, after several rounds of this breathing, you will probably be a little dizzy, you know, as this is another side effect of a higher level of oxygen, and you might even start yawning. That's okay. Naturally, if you get lightheaded, sit down and take a break. Don't fall out. When you really get this breathing method on your belt, you can use it in situations where you find yourself stressed. Yes, yes, yes. It might be one of those meetings where the boss is acting like a non-human. Mm-hmm. It might be in school, dealing with peer pressure, any relationship issue, or just internal stuff going on. As soon as you know stress is right around the corner with your name on it, you can go into action. Yeah. This is the time to go inward. Breathe deep and exhale slowly, keeping a peaceful affirmation in mind, such as, all is well in my world. Everyone around me is celebrating my existence and is supportive in all my endeavors. I am loved. That sounds good, huh? Feels good, too. When you breathe in this manner, you are shifting the focus in your brain from the back to the front. All right, I try to speak real slowly there, but I'm telling you, just go into the archives and download it, and you can hear it over and over and over, okay? Now, I mentioned the limbic section, limbic, L-I-M-B-I-C, limbic section, okay? When you are stressed and negativity becomes a dominant factor in how you're going to think and act, you're using the limbic part of the primitive part of the brain. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again. When you're stressed and negativity becomes a dominant factor in how you're going to think and act, you're using the limbic part or the primitive part of the brain. of your brain. The more specific, responsible part there is called the amygdala, AMYGDALA, amygdala. It is this amygdala that emotionally hijacks the brain. And this is where psychotic rage originates. You might experience this with somebody, maybe yourself. Yeah. There's no rationality being done there. No. Emotionality rules in this space. Violent reactions and mindless, enraging behavior originates in this part of the brain. Ooh, I got to pause right there. I know a lot of people that fall, you know, right into this category. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I used to work in group homes and around a lot of severely emotionally disturbed adults and children. I saw this a lot. A lot. Some family members even. A lot. You know, they get stressed at a drop of a dime, like a ticking time bomb. You're not like that. No, 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 no. But I bet you know other people who are like that. Yeah. So keep that in mind. All right? Very important. It's the amygdala, you know, those areas. Okay? All right. Now, the neocortex. When we can breathe deeply, the relaxing that follows brings our thinking to the neocortex part of the brain where rational thought takes place. Ah, good guys, neocortex. Yes, we love the neocortex, not so much the amygdala. No, not that one, or limbic part. No. Neocortex, good guys, okay. Within the neocortex systems, there's a frontal lobe, and within that system, in the frontal part is the prefrontal lobes. In the prefrontal lobes, there are the right side and the left side. One of the duties of the left lobe is to act as a neural thermostat, regulating unpleasant emotions. The right prefrontal lobe harbors the negative emotions, while the left one keeps them in check. Now, the left prefrontal lobe, in short, seems to be a part of a neural circuit that can switch off, or at least dampen down all but the strongest negative surges of emotion. If the amygdala often acts as an emergency trigger, the left prefrontal lobe appears to be part of the brain's off switch for disturbing emotion. The amygdala proposes, prefrontal lobe disposes. I said again, the amygdala proposes, the prefrontal lobe disposes. Yeah, prefrontal lobe. Okay. All right. Now, catching ourselves before that blinding rage takes control is critical. Because when that emotion is present, sometimes we are unable to think. Yeah, the blood, there's so much blood in that area. Yeah. Yeah. You can't think or breathe or do mathematical problems or anything. You're controlled at that point by your blind emotions, and that is when psychotic episodes can happen. We don't want to have that. You can get killed behind something like that or kill somebody. When the emotion, you know, when a person assaults, rapes, fights, or kills someone, yeah, without consciously being aware. Yeah. Yeah, they just act. Before you know it, someone is dead. This is why we have to be consciously aware of our mindsets, feelings, and our body parts. See, people don't like to talk about this so much. They love talking about drama and all the stuff that gets them upset or rage or excites them. But as far as talking about the neocortex, deep breathing, staying calm, acting rationally, you know, we don't like to talk about this. Why is that? Why can't we talk about rational thinking, being calm? Huh? Yeah. You know, I'm telling you, we got to shift our mindset, shift ourselves from the limbic section, the amygdala, to the front neocortex area. I'm talking about another technique here called progressive muscle relaxation. Progressive muscle relaxation. Very, very important technique. Now, this originated by a guy named Dr. Edmund Jacobson. Yeah, I didn't originate this one, but I'm using it all the time. I give credit where credit is due. He published the book Progressive Relaxation back in 1938. Yeah, 1938. Yeah. It is through this process that we can become acutely aware of our various muscles, how they feel when they are in a peaceful, relaxed mode, and how they feel when they are in a stress mode. According to his theory, the muscles actually record anxiety-provoking thoughts and events. Yeah, the muscles actually record these kind of events. Yeah. A buildup of muscle tension then increases the actual feelings of anxiety. Got that? A buildup of muscle tension then increases the actual feelings of anxiety. So Dr. Jacobson deduced that the opposite is also true. Yeah. Makes sense logically, you're right. If the muscles relax, then physiological tension is reduced, and in turn, anxiety is decreased. The progressive relaxation technique consists of tensing and relaxing major muscle groups while paying close attention to the sensations in each part of the body. I call this establishing muscle memory. You simply tense a particular muscle group for 5 seconds and then release it. Yeah. Kind of exercise makes you more connected or in tune with that particular body part. Yeah. When you are more sensitized to your various body parts, you will notice more readily when subtle changes occur. See, I'm trying to stop that fight, that beatdown that y'all go through. Yeah. Rewind it and see where all that starts and do some of this way before that happens, way before you get the feelings or even the thought of harming somebody or yourself. Yeah. When a feeling of stress starts to affect you, you will notice the change and thus be ready for a detouring plan for evading the stress bug, I call it. Catching the stress at this beginning stage prevents any escalation and possible damage internally and externally. Your inner world and outer world will be safer with you knowing how to get the upper hand on stress. Absolutely. You'll be able to kick stress's butt before stress can kick yours. Yeah. The superhero. Yeah. Da-da-da. Who will save you from the gloom and doom. Perils of the stress villain will be you. Got your cape and tights ready? You will save yourself from the misery, depression, rage, anger, fright, violence, and other psychotic behavior that can occur as a result of not catching the stress buildup before it was uncontrollable. You will know just how to cut off the flow of negative energy, thus preventing any behavior that you'll be sorry about later. It feels good to be more connected to your body anyway. You know, I'm telling you, try it. Do it. Yeah. And we're going to talk about, you know, I'm gonna take it step by step later on, probably in our next session. Might not have time today for this. You will feel healthier in general because you are listening to the small, subtle signs that your body is relating to you. This kind of communication can offset headaches, muscle aches, and pain, stiffness, and even digestive issues. Yeah. While y'all have all kinds of colon problems and indigestion, taking Tums and all kinds of stuff, you need to change how you're thinking. You got to change the background noise that's causing you distress. Yeah. You can do it this way. Yeah. So, we could talk about knowing yourself. This is some of emotional intelligence fundamentals. Yeah. We need emotional intelligence. You don't have it. What makes you think, act, and feel the way you do? Ask yourself that. What makes you feel, think, act the way you do, huh? What parts of your reactions are habitual? What parts are intentional? Yeah, for sure. See, what are you afraid of? You know, we need to build our emotional literacy. See, you know, in our childhood, we were not taught correctly in this area. We were not modeled correctly. Our parents, and you know, they might not have been educated themselves. They didn't give us a big, long emotional vocabulary. So, you parents right now speaking to you, got kids, increase their emotional vocabulary. Or I'm saying building emotional literacy. Yeah, for sure. They need to know, you know, how they feel, how they express how they feel, how to intelligently express how they feel. Yeah, especially you got these girls, you know, your girl, well, it doesn't matter, or boys, children in these public schools, and all kind of things happen there with teachers and other students. You know, you need to know what's going on there. If your child comes back not feeling right, you ask them, well, how was today, Sharifa? And she just says, I don't know. Well, she's hurt and she can't, you know, she's not able to express how she really feels. 'Cause, and you know something's wrong, but you can't get out of her because she doesn't know how to express herself. She doesn't know how to tell you that the teacher handled her wrong and touched her in the wrong place and made her feel bad. And, you know, or she got sexually harassed by a boy, you know, by the lockers and all that. He touched some of her private parts and all that and ran off. You see? See, so she doesn't know how to express that. So this is why you need to teach them, you know, or give them more words to use. Build their emotional literacy. Yeah. So feelings are a complex aspect of each of every person. Complex aspect. While research has identified eight core feelings, which are fear, joy, acceptance, anger, sorrow, disgust, surprise, and expectation, we each experience dozens, even hundreds of variations each day. By the way, another research group has identified their own eight primary feelings with their own subcategories. They are anger, sadness, fear, enjoyment, love, surprise, disgust, and shame. I'm aligned more with this group. These emotions blend, merge, and frequently conflict. See, the emotional intelligence fundamental here helps us to understand their causes and effects. It also helps us to understand how emotions function in our brains and bodies and the interaction of thought, feeling, and action. It is important to help your child with their feeling vocabulary. So start introducing different feeling labels as early as possible. When kids can clearly identify their feelings, they will feel better about themselves and you will know exactly what's going on with them. You got to know. But if the kid doesn't know how to express themselves, how are you going to know? And a lot of parents, I'm telling you, they get mad at the kid for not telling them what's going on. They punish the victim. And that makes the kid go inward even more, feeling shame now. Yeah, something's wrong with them. You see? You're compounding the program with your little one. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right. See, back to the brain. Human being follows patterns or neural pathways. On a behavioral level, the neural patterns lead to behavior patterns. At a young age, we learn lessons of how to cope, how to get our needs met, and how to protect ourselves. These strategies reinforce each other, and we develop a complex structure of beliefs to support the validity of the behaviors. Yeah. As we become more conscious of the patterns we exhibit, it becomes possible to, one, analyze the beliefs and replace them if appropriate, interrupt the pattern and replace it with conscious behavior that moves us closer to our goals. You see, when you replace the negative patterns consistently, you form new habits. Please hear this. When you form new habits, you actually start establishing new neural pathways in your brain. Oh, yeah, quantum scientists have verified this for years. We gotta wake up. Gotta wake up and be in control of ourselves. Yeah. So letting the emotional aspect control us. Having new neural pathways makes it easier for us to act in our new pattern, because once the brain is reprogrammed, it operates and pushes us toward our new desires. Yeah. This is also proves successful in addiction recovery programs. Sure. Now, since we know that patterns lead to habits which are hard to break, well, I'm telling you, I bear witness, are hard to break later in life, we have to instill patterns of positive behavior in ourselves first and then in our little ones, for your parents. The antecedent, remember I talked about antecedent, the ABC before, remember if you heard my session, I think it was part 15, I talked about the ABC, the antecedent behavior consequence, remember that? Okay. The antecedent of the habits we see demonstrated are the patterns of behaviors that were either taught or modeled by the adults or peers in our environment. I was saying that. See, we're programmed for our parents and those in our environment. Most of the time, we were modeled incorrectly. Modeled incorrectly. You see, that's why we have the patterns that we do have today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you aren't stuck with your genetic code. Did you know that? You aren't stuck with your genes. You inherit certain things. Knowing you have called the X factor, you have certain things that are part of your genetic makeup, your bloodstream there. Once you know that, all you got to do now is compensate, overcompensate. Do more to correct that. So that what happens, you actually alter your genetic code for the next generation. That's right. You don't have to pass that bad gene off to your little ones all because you have it yourself from what was given to you. No. No. It's part of co-creating your life. Yeah. How do you do what is right for you? Can you increase your awareness of your actions so that you can see their effects? If you're not afraid, what would you do? Can you live with doing less than what is right? Can you do it? Think about that. Remember, it is in the left prefrontal lobe where this happens. Not the back, not the amygdala, not back there. We have to have an uncompromising standard of thoughts and behavior that is life-producing, love-producing, happiness-producing, harmony-producing, and health-producing. Yeah. When these ideals are firmly in place, then we can measure any new energy or emotion that may come our way by our new accepted standards. That's what I'm talking about here, brothers and sisters. We have to have new accepted standards for ourselves. You know? I mean, it really bothers me to a level. You know, I'm talking to the universal audience, not just the Muslims out here, but I try to make it universal. You come to a new religious community, and you're fired up. You're fired up. You're fired up. And you see the old dark behaviors of people who call themselves believers. And you say, wait a minute. Didn't they get the memo? You know, they don't have to act like that. If you have new accepted standards, you go act differently. Why would I accept a new way of life if I'm holding to old standards that didn't work for me then? Why should I try to bring no standards over into my new life? That wouldn't make any sense to me. And I don't understand why people do that. They accept the new life. They call themselves Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, whatever, Hindu, Sikh. But they still have governing their life old standards. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. You see? So we have to accept new standards for us. And then you live by those new standards. Doesn't that make more sense? Yeah, I'm telling you. It just really bothers me. I see people, I say, man, I don't get it. Why aren't you just going back to the old life? I mean, if you got old standards of living, old standards of behavior, go back to the life you say you didn't want to be in, because, you know, those standards of behavior matches that old life you say you don't want anymore. Going back to that then, it would be better, actually. Yeah, trying to pollute this new water that we have now of the believers. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to talk about a term called consequential thinking. Yeah, consequential thinking. Okay. Feelings provide insight and energy, and they are the basis for almost every decision. Instead of disconnecting our emotions, we need to control our actions so that we have time to make the most creative, insightful, and powerful decisions. Particularly when dealing with conflict or crisis, we need to slow down the process and apply carefully practiced strategies that lead to decisions informed by the fused powers of heart and mind. All right. This habit of mind stems from a clear understanding of the consequences of our choices and the ability to imagine the cause and effect relationships. Yeah. See, one key mechanism to develop and monitor consequential thinking is self-talk. Yeah. Self-talk is a mechanism for to mentally explore multiple options and viewpoints. Yeah. It provides a system to balance the various aspects of ourselves. Just as in conversation outside of ourselves, sometimes the louder voice gets more attention. Yeah. The issue in both cases is to develop a process where listening is valued and all the voices, loud and soft, are heard. Your parents, are you hearing that? God, your children? Yeah. We have to be conscious of the sequential nature of our thoughts. Please hear this. Every thought we think is creating our world. So we have to be conscious of the building blocks we are creating. One thought leads to another and to another and so on. What kind of life are we building for ourselves, huh? What kind of life are you building for yourself? What you currently have is a great place to start. Yeah. What you have is a result of consequential thinking. So is it what you want to have as your life representation, or is it something else? Huh? I'm going to read you a poem I noticed in my doctor's office one time from an anonymous person. It says, my title is called Essence of Beauty, The Essence of Beauty. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Choose your words, for they become actions. Understand your actions, for they become habits. Study your habits, for they become your character. Develop your character, for it becomes your destiny. Isn't that something? Yeah. Yeah, very important to understand this. Yeah. Are y'all getting this? It's so important, you know? Like I said before, see, you know, when it comes to this kind of topic, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to listen to it. Or they hear it, they say, it's so boring, we'll hear something else. Because you're programmed for drama. You're all into the Hollywood gossip, who's doing what to who. Backstabbing, backbiting, you know, tearing people's character down. You see? Yeah. You're all into that. But we're talking about building your life, rebuilding your life from scratch, rewriting the script that you've been following all your life that was written to you, written for you by somebody else, your circumstances, people in your environment when you're younger. You don't want to hear that. I'm talking about filling the emotional voids in childhood and creating your own life. You don't want to hear that. You see? Yeah, for sure. That's why programs like this, you know, audiences are kind of small. But, you know, it's all about quality. When you're ready for a new life, you're ready for a new life. That means that, you know, those who don't, you know, particularly care for this, then you're not ready for a new life. So don't complain. Accept the life you have. But when you're ready for a happy, healthy marriage, ready for having a happy, healthy parenting where your kids are wonderful and healthy, Happy life or depression and anger, those things don't bother you. They don't come visiting you. Then tune into this. Yeah. I was at a family's house last night. I was a student, one of my students. Yeah. Healthy, functional family. You know, father and mother, both lawyers. They speak lovingly to one another. They both help raise the kids. They both calm the kids. Matter of fact, the girl was in the kitchen cooking something, and the mother was saying, you know, giving her a lot of compliments and saying how she loves how she cooks and has her own recipes, and she learned from her daughter in the kitchen. Yeah, complimenting her, validating her. The boy I was teaching, she was giving him compliments too, saying he knows how to cook too and has great dishes too. Yeah, compliments, compliments. When she does that, the kids smile. Yeah. Sometimes I see the when husband and wife come home from work, and they say, we're coming back in an hour or so. They go out to eat, just those two, themselves, while the kids are home. Yeah. Quality time with one another, building their marriage up. Yeah. The boy plays a saxophone. He's at a concert. When he goes to the, when he's at a concert, he has his grandfather, parents, you know, two generations there. Supporting him, applauding him, giving him compliments every step of the way. You see? Building him up. He's in a magnet school and, you know, doing well at top of his game. A guy got colleges ready to receive him with scholarships. Yeah. It is possible to have the kind of life. Now, if you weren't born like that, if you didn't come up like that, you can create it in your mind. I call it my virtual experiences. I talk about that in my book, Reconnected. Yeah, for sure. So you can have the life that you thought was only a dream. Yeah, for sure. All right, now I'm gonna put a pause right there. I'll continue next week on part 18 or our next session. Yeah, for sure. So the book Reconnected, how to be a mentor to your child self, the self you once were, your younger self. My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Yeah. I'm a life coach also, so if you want life coaching, yeah, just hit me on that website. It's all done on the phone, so you can be anywhere. And, you know, you need to get balance in your life, and I can help you out with that. So we can do that. Okay? You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right, my show on Saturdays, it's called The Reconnected Show. www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. So like this show is / email Alfred. My show on Saturdays is / reconnected. blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. So a lot of y'all like to call on the phone, listen on your phone. Call 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Call at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. A lot of y'all listening from New Jersey and New York area. So, yeah, you can call at the 2 o'clock your time. Okay? And just listen. I always have personal growth experts on my show. And I just host that one. So I don't do a lot of talking there. I do a lot of talking on this show solely. All right? So that's why I appreciate E-Mam Alfred giving me this time slot to talk about the various personal growth areas in my book as relates to the topic at hand, which right now is conscious parenting and personal growth. Okay? I'd love to hear from you. A lot of y'all have the book. I need to know how you're doing with it. How's your life changed? I'd love to hear testimonials. Yeah. That inspires other people. So I'd love to hear your testimonials. I've got several so far. If you look at my website, cloudsofabundance.com, you'll see several there. All right? And there are videos there I'd like for you to look at also. A lot of videos there, especially on that homepage. So hear the videos. See the videos. All right. Okay. Everybody got that? Wonderful. Fantastic. All right. Well, we're going to end the show now. We'll start with part 18. Remember, we got to get our emotions in check. Okay. Yeah. Emotions got to be checked with knowledge. Right now, they're unchecked, many of y'all. So we got to learn how to do that so we can operate rationally and have healthy marriages. It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. You can have a good marriage like that where your wife is your best friend. I got that with my wife. Absolutely. We do everything together. We go to the store together. We do everything together, you know? work together in the house, in the house, outside of the house. Yeah, my best support, my best cheerleader, and I'm her cheerleader too. Yeah, you can have that and more. Just believe you deserve it and you'll have it. Okay? Absolutely. With that in mind, we'll close the show. And by the way, I'll give you one more creed gift here called my Reconnected Creed. This is something you need to tape on your bathroom mirror or put it someplace so you can see it all the time. Tell yourself these things here and you'll be destined for greatness every single day. Like this, quote, I can create. I am creating a powerful, passionate, peaceful, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do